The Torah repeats the commandment, "You shall dispossess all the inhabitants of the land," many times, and Rashi explains that this means to expel them. The Torah itself uses the term expulsion a number of times. The substance of this commandment is to expel the inhabitants of the land, whoever they may be. This is also how Rashi understands the commandment. In the Talmudic passage that mentions the commandment to settle the land, Rashi explains, "Because of the commandment to settle Eretz Yisrael, to expel idol worshippers and settle Jews there." Thus, according to Rashi, the commandment to settle the land means to expel the non-Jew from Eretz Yisrael and settle it with Jews. Zephaniah, emphasis supplied. Harkabi continues, "Note the association of idol worshippers and non-Jews. This identification has a basis in Jewish tradition." In Rabbi Kahane's version, expulsion of the Arabs would fulfill two functions. The first is political, preventing the Arabs from becoming the majority and thereby undermining Israel from within. The second is religious. It would provide a proven means to hasten the redemption and the coming of the Messiah. Emphasis supplied. Harkabi quotes Rabbi Kahane, "The Arabs of Israel are a desecration of God's name. Their non-acceptance of Jewish sovereignty over the land of Israel is a rejection of the kingdom. Removing them from the land is therefore more than a political matter. It is a religious matter, a religious obligation to wipe out the desecration of God's name. Instead of worrying about the reactions of the Gentiles, if we act, we should tremble at the thought of God's wrath. If we do not act, tragedy will befall us. If we do not remove the Arabs from the land, since redemption can come at once in its full glory if we do, as God commands us, let us remove the Arabs from Israel and hasten the redemption. Thorns in your eyes," pages 244-245. Emphasis supplied. Harkabi cites Rabbi S.D. Wolpe for the following. "According to Halakha, it is forbidden for a non-Jew to live in Jerusalem, and in accordance with the ruling by Maimonides, it is forbidden to permit even a resident alien in Jerusalem." True, this applies when Israel has the upper hand, but today too, although it is not possible to expel them by force, this does not mean that we have to encourage them to live there. Emphasis supplied. Harkabi also quotes Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, winner of the 1976 Israel Prize, given for outstanding achievement, "It is forbidden for Gentiles to live in Jerusalem. I, for example, favor upholding the halakhic prohibition on a Gentiles living in Jerusalem. If we would uphold this halakha as we should, we would have to expel all non-Jews from Jerusalem and purify it absolutely," cited in the Zionist Dream Revisited, p. 117. Emphasis supplied. According to this interpretation of divine law, the failure to expel the Palestinians from their homeland and all non-Jews from Jerusalem is a transgression of religious law. The tragic irony of this situation is pointed out by John K. Rothate in an article appearing in the Los Angeles Times, November 12, 1988, entitled "Kristallnacht Formula Haunts Today's Unwanted." In the article, Roth describes the situation in Germany in 1938 regarding the Jewish problem. Strenuous efforts were being made by Eichmann to expel the Jews from Germany. At the same time, because of Hitler's conquests in Austria and Czechoslovakia, more Jews came under Nazi control. The following are excerpts from Roth's article. "Meanwhile, the presence of nearly 70,000 Polish Jews in German territory remained an embarrassment for the Nazis' promise of Judenrei, a state cleansed of Jews. By late October, these Jews, rounded up by the Gestapo, were being deported to the Polish frontier. The Poles, however, were not ready to accept them. Blocked from Poland, unable to return to Germany, detained in hideous conditions, these unwanted Jews found themselves in a hapless no-man's land. When policies of forced emigration proved insufficient to solve the Jewish question, those same experts would move on to organize the final solution. Thus, the ultimate significance of Kristallnacht was that it hastened the approaches to Auschwitz. Kristallnacht, the event itself, the conditions that brought it on, and, even more important, the results it produced should provoke reflection 50 years later. For early November, 1988, it has portents too. Some of them can be seen in Israel's election returns, which signify a turn to the right, religiously and politically. peace for Israel in exchange for land, the hope of a viable Palestinian state on soil voluntarily relinquished by Israel. Such possibilities are less likely now that Israel has voted. Instead, Israeli voices advocating a purely Jewish state are going to be more determined and strident than ever. Among them are those of the Moledet, Homeland, party, which advocated the transfer of Palestinian Arabs from the occupied Kristallnacht happened because a political state decided to get rid of people unwanted within its borders. It seems increasingly clear that Israel would prefer to rid itself of Palestinians if it could do so. Their presence in Gaza and the West Bank is a liability and a threat to many Israeli intentions. Thus, the voice of Moledet, euphemistic and muted though it may be, is not to be taken lightly. This is particularly true when it seems equally clear that not many other nations in the world want the Palestinians either. As much as any other people today, they are being forced into a tragic part too much like the one played by the European. The anniversary of Kristallnacht has become an occasion for reasserting never again. That cry signals commitment to ensure the safety of Jews, wherever they may be. At its best, never again signified that and much more. It is a cry to forestall tragedy, wherever people are unwanted. As a Holocaust scholar, as one who has lived and taught in Israel, and who loves that country deeply, during this year's remembrance of Kristallnacht my thoughts are on Palestinian plight at least as much as on Israeli security. Emphasis supplied, Hitler failed in efforts to solve the Jewish problem by expulsion. He then decided on the final solution, which was extermination. Incredible as it may seem, this is the same final solution which the religious extremists are suggesting as far as the Palestinians are concerned. Genocide and the Palestinian problem. Huckabee is deeply disturbed by what he sees as an ominous movement among the religious extremists. Some nationalistic religious extremists frequently identify the Arabs with Amalek, whom the Jews are commanded to annihilate totally, Deuteronomy 25:17-19. As children, we were taught that this was a relic of a bygone and primitive era, a commandment that had lapsed, because Sennacherib the Assyrian king had mixed up all the nations, so it was no longer possible to know who comes of the seed of Amalek. Yet some rabbis insist on injecting a contemporary significance into the commandment to blot out Amalek. Rabbi Yisrael Hess, formerly the campus rabbi of Bar Ilan University, published an article in the student newspaper, Bat Kal, February 26, 1988, entitled The Commandment of Genocide in the Torah, which ended as follows: "The day will yet come when we will all be called to fulfill the commandment of the divinely ordained to destroy Amalek." Knesset member Amnon Rubinstein, citing this article, adds, "Rabbi Hess explains the commandment to blot out the memory of Amalek, and says that there is no mercy in this commandment. The commandment is to kill and destroy even children and infants. Amalek is whoever declares war against the people of God." Emphasis supplied. In the same article quoted by Rubinstein, Hess writes, "Against this holy war God declares a counter-jihad in order to emphasize that this is the background for the annihilation, and that this is what the war is all about, that it is not merely a conflict between two peoples. God does not rest content that we destroy Amalek, blot out the memory of Amalek. He also mobilizes personally for this war, because, as has been said, he has a personal interest in the matter. It is a prime goal for us as well." Emphasis supplied. Huckabee continues with an alarming statement. Hess implies that those who have a quarrel with the Jews instantly become Amalek, and ought to be destroyed / children and all. Amalek is identified with the Arabs. The use of the term jihad, holy war, is but one allusion to this meaning. Amalek is not an ancient extinct tribe, but a generic enemy that each generation may identify for itself. Rabbi Yisrael Ariel, in a collection of articles intended to justify the religious terrorist underground that emerged in Israel in the mid-1980s, explained that the killing of a non-Jew is not considered murder. Emphasis supplied. Huckabee continues his quote from Rabbi Yisrael Ariel. "Anyone who looks through the Code of Maimonides, which is the pillar of halakha in the Jewish world, and searches for the concept thou shalt not